All right, please turn with me to Psalm 23. We'll be in Psalm 23 this morning, looking at what I'm entitling the Shepherd's Psalm. The 23rd Psalm. Today, of course, is a very special day at TRBC. The Lord has set apart Brother Noah from among us to shepherd the flock of God. Noah, you have been thoroughly examined, and our church has unanimously voted in affirmation that our church sees the character and the gifts of God operating in your life. We give thanks to God for you and for raising you up among us. One of the traits that I most appreciate about Brother Noah is his shepherding heart. Now, Noah has an obvious love for God's people. And brethren, a lot of us, many of us, we began our pursuit of pastoral ministry because we felt called to preach. You know, we had a passion, we had a fire in our bones, we wanted to preach God's word, and that is good. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 to preach the word. That is certainly central to the work of ministry. And Brother Noah, we see those gifts operating in you that you are able to teach. You meet this most important mark of an elder. Yet, your public ministry as an elder doing preaching in Sunday school is just one part of pastoral ministry. I liken it to an iceberg. You see the part that's above the surface, so much lies beneath. And one of the things I most appreciate about TRBC and our history is that we have always spotlighted the work and prioritized the work of shepherding. This has been modeled by our elders emeritus, and we are very thankful for it. These gentlemen have modeled that elder work is people work. It's teaching, yes, but it's teaching publicly and privately. It's counseling. It's being tender-hearted. It's being concerned. It's being loving. It's being correcting when you need to be. It's life on life. It's walking with people. Walking with them through the valleys and walking with them through the hilltops. It's pastoral visits. It's comforting the sick and bereaved. It's encouraging those who are straying. It's praying for those who are hurting. It is all of these things, publicly and privately. And today I want us to look at what Spurgeon called the pearl of the Psalms. Might be well worn in your Bible. It is the Shepherd's Psalm, Psalm 23. Let me read this whole psalm for us. It's a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the Shepherd's Psalm. And Brother Noah, it's not about us. The Lord is my shepherd. He is the chief shepherd of every true child of God, every sheep. But brother, God has called us to be under shepherds, serving under the sovereign hand of the good shepherd, the chief shepherd. And the chief shepherd uses us as means to be a comfort to God's people, as a means to shepherd his people. Now, this is a beautiful psalm. It is a very misunderstood psalm because some people look at this psalm and they think, hey, I can avoid pain. I'm not going to have any wants. Everything's going to go great. Health, wealth, prosperity. Context is always key. Psalm 23 is a part of a trilogy of psalms. You don't get to Psalm 23 without passing by Psalm 22, and they're put in that order for a reason. Psalm 22 is a psalm of the cross. It's a psalm that looks forward to the suffering servant of the Lord. It's a psalm that begins, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's a psalm that says in Psalm 22:16 that looks forward to having pierced hands and feet. It speaks to those who stare and gloat at me. Psalm 22, again, looking toward that Good Friday, speaks of they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing that they cast lots. Faith family, Psalm 23 follows Psalm 22 for a purpose. The pastoral care that we see in Psalm 23, the pastoral care that the Good Shepherd gives, is only for the people the Messiah purchased by His own blood in Psalm 22. Our Savior Jesus, reflecting on these psalms, I believe, said in John 10:11, I am the Good Shepherd. That's Psalm 23. The Good Shepherd lays down His life for His sheep. That's Psalm 22. So today, as we think about being under-shepherds of the Good Shepherd, we are thinking through a blood-bought people. Brother Noah, we must always remember the Apostle Paul's words to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which He obtained by His own blood. Now, that can feel like a heavy calling sometimes. Now, the office that you are called to is called the office of elder, but the function of the office is shepherding or pastoring. You see this title or office and function together in 1 Peter chapter 5. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder, that's the officer, and as a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker of the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. That's the function. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Brother Noah, I hope today as we study the 23rd Psalms, this 23rd Psalm, it'll be encouragement upon your soul. There are, to outline this, two basic parts to the psalm. There is part 1, verses 1 through 4, the Good Shepherd. Part 2 of the psalm is the gracious host, and that is verses 5 through 6. We will only focus on the first 4 verses today on the Good Shepherd. Our Good Shepherd is leading His people. And I want to spur us on in our labor as under-shepherds, following the Good Shepherd's example and lead. First of all, we see the good shepherd loves his sheep. The good shepherd loves his sheep. The Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd. Brethren, this is not a universal psalm. Everybody loves a psalm. There are people who go to the hotel, pull open the drawer, pull out their Bibles, turn to Psalm 23, who do not know and love Jesus and derive some comfort there. But it does not belong to them yet. It's not a universal promise. The text does not say all the world. It does not even say all of Israel. The Lord is my shepherd. It is a particular promise. Not all are God's children. Those who are God's children come personally and individually brought in into God's flock. It is those that God elected before the foundation of the earth. It's those that the Messiah atoned for in Psalm 22. It's those called by the Spirit. He is their shepherd. It's all of those that our Lord had his hands and his feet pierced for, as we just read a few minutes ago. Now they will come. Our Lord said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me." It is only those who believe in his name, John says in John 1:12, who receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It is those that believe that he is the Messiah, that he is the Savior, that he is the one who lived a perfect life, that he is God in flesh, God in skin, who died on the cross for sinners, who satisfied the wrath of God for all of those who will believe. It's those who believe that he walked out of an empty tomb, and it is those who have heard his call and they follow him. It is not a universal call. But brethren, make no mistake about this. The good shepherd loves his sheep. He loves his sheep. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Why sheep? I mean, really? Sheep? A dog would be, that'd be a promotion. Sheep is the lowest of the low. The reason for this is, of course, this was an agrarian society. There's sheep everywhere. It is Israel. The land is perfect for sheep. But it's also illustrative because sheep must have a shepherd. Sheep have no other option. Sheep without a shepherd die. They are defenseless against wolves and against predators. They are weak. They are ignorant. They are needy. They have to have someone come alongside them and cut off their wool, or they will fall on the ground and not be able to get back up and die. They are easily frightened. The sheep can be stubborn, wayward. Sheep need someone with a crook to come and bring them back in. Sheep are never made to be alone, or sheep will die. That's us. And the reason that can sound so offensive to us is because we don't understand the nature of our own sin. Brother Noah, elders are sheep too. And elders are always more sheep than shepherd. Elders, without the good shepherd laying down his life for us, would be wolves. Brother Noah, follow the good shepherd. Paul instructs us to keep watch over yourself and the flock of God. Because Paul knows too, he's more sheep than shepherd, and he was called to be an apostle. The sheep and shepherd analogy is not flattering, but it is accurate. This is true. We need a shepherd. I want you to think for a moment how condescending it is to describe the Savior, our Lord Jesus, as a shepherd. Think about that for a minute. A Jesus who is truly God and truly man, who came to the earth that he created and called himself a good shepherd. Now, this, of course, was really the lowest of the callings in ancient Israel. A shepherd who stood out in the field in the heat and the cold and watched the most ignorant of animals and took care of them 24 hours a day, and by the way, did not get paid very well for it, and they did so year in, year out, at the expense of their own health. The shepherd took total responsibility for his sheep. Does that sound familiar? I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. It was a condescending title our Lord embraced for himself. And Brother Noah, he modeled it for us. And so because he laid down his life for his sheep can say, I shall not want. Our good shepherd provides for physical needs and spiritual needs. We see in verse 2 that the shepherd leads us. The shepherd leads. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. The shepherd leads. He gives calm assurance to those who are afraid. This is a pastoral scene. It speaks of peace. He's leading me beside still waters. Here's the shepherd with his very skittish animals, and they're going by a rushing stream, and the animal is so parched and thirsty in the hot Israeli sun, but it's afraid to drink. But here comes the good shepherd, and the good shepherd takes some large stones, and he builds a little dam in the stream, and there's a little cool, calm place for these very timid lambs to come and take their drink. And David is saying, that's what the Lord does for us. The Lord takes care of his own. Brother Noah, in your pastoral ministry, there will be times when God's people need your guidance. With hurting marriages, rebellious children, bad medical reports, and they're afraid. Times when their own hearts are straying, and where will they turn? I hope they turn to you. There'll be times when you have the chance to share the gospel of peace, assurance, give sound, godly, biblical counsel, to pray, to encourage, and to correct. That's what shepherds do. Everybody wants a pulpit. Brother Noah, I pray that God gives you a stream and you lead God's people down the streams of water. Feed God's sheep. Take care of God's people. Love God's people. We see in pastoral ministry that the good shepherd who loves his sheep leads his people beside the still waters, and he uses us. It's a wonderful thing. And we see that the good shepherd restores. He leads, but he also restores, and he restores their souls. This is speaking of bringing back the sheep who are straying. Brethren, we all know the great joy of serving our King. All of us have a gift. All of us have a sphere of influence in a way that God's called us to serve. But Brother Noah, having witnessed you both in public and in private, I know that God has called you to be a shepherd to his sheep. And I know he will use you for his glory and for the good of his church. We also see that the good shepherd guides. The good shepherd guides. His sheep lack a sense of direction. Sheep are easily prone to linger. Lord, we feel it. And what's the good shepherd do? The good shepherd leaves the 99 and he comes and he finds the one. And likewise, he uses his under shepherds bringing the Word of God by the power of the Spirit of God to guide His flock. All this God does for His own name's sake. Brother Noah, the Lord's going to use you to lead people down the path of righteousness. In a world where people can get off in the wrong direction so many ways, the Lord will use you to lead God's people. And we also see that the Good Shepherd is called to protect His people. He's called to protect His people. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. And we are called to protect people. This valley of the shadow of death was a cause of great fear for the sheep. The shepherd would lead them from one grazing area to another, and to get there, they'd have to go through narrow pathways, through cliffs, where just a little bit of sun would break through the limestone and it would produce shadows where predators and wolves hide and wait. But there's the Good Shepherd. And the sheep have no fear because their Good Shepherd carries a big club. And He tells the wolves, bring it. It's a 2-foot oak wood heavy club. And along with that club, He's got His staff, His crook staff that we see in all the pastoral pictures, ready to pull the sheep out of harm's way. Sometimes God's people struggle, and we, by God's grace, must be used by the Lord to bring them back onto the safe and narrow way. Brother Noah, the Lord will use you in that way. The Lord will use you to guide God's people when they feel discontent. Again, this psalm does not make frilly promises about an easy way or easy life. There are certainly struggles. There are times when God's people need the shepherd to bring the club and the staff. Sometimes they will say, I don't understand why this happened to me. And you will tell them, because, brother or sister, all you have to do is trust the shepherd. He will lead you. He will take care of you. You will give God's people the gospel. You will reassure their hearts. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He will make your path straight. As an under-shepherd, we never point to us as the answer. We always point to the Good Shepherd. We remind God's people that He will lead them, He will guide them, and He will take them home at His own good time. The Good Shepherds defend against those who would spiritually assault the flock of God. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We remember David talked about this when he spoke to King Saul. He wanted to, of course, fight Goliath, a ruddy little boy, and he told Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. Your servant has struck both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like them. David clubbed wolves, and he took down giants, not by his own power, but by God's strength and power. And as under-shepherds, we are to follow that example. New Covenant equivalent of this is Paul speaking to Titus in Titus 1:9. Elders must hold firm to trustworthy words as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine. That's your staff. You're pulling back God's people from spiritual danger. And also rebuke those who contradicted. That, brother, is your club. And you are ready to protect God's people from error. Brethren, our day and age faces many errors, many dangers, many wolves in sheep's clothing. We cannot even predict what all lies in the next corners. But Brother Noah, regardless of what lies around the corners, we are called by God to protect God's people and teach them the truths of Scriptures. Comfort the people of God using God's book. Protect them. Now, Brother Noah, I recognize that these things for us could, they can be daunting. It is a high calling to be called a pastor or an elder or a shepherd. And so I simply want to close my part of this service by some words of encouragement. First of all, Brother Noah, you will not have to do this alone. Praise God. I will be with you. Lord willing, in due time, others will be with you. We still have the great pleasure of having Jimmy and Henry to help us. We have great officers and deacons at this church to also help us. You don't have to do this alone. There have been times in my own pastoral ministry where I felt alone. That is hard. But we will do this together. There is protection and wisdom in having a plurality and parity of elders, and that's going to be very good for you. And second of all, Brother Noah, you have a congregation that loves you and your family. A congregation that has chosen you, again, unanimously for this office. A congregation that understands Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Brother, there are many churches in disarray. We have a great privilege of leading a congregation that understands elder leadership and looks forward to that. Along with that, number three encouragement is that you have over 40 years of faithful examples at TRBC with Jimmy and Henry. Again, this is a great protection for us because we are not reinventing the wheel. We have a history that is very, very helpful for us. We have long, faithful pastorates, and that is a great blessing. So many churches have very short pastorates. Other churches have long pastorates of chaos, and that is also a problem. Praise the Lord, we have stability. It's a great blessing. Most of all, Brother Noah, and this is number four, last encouragement, the greatest news of all is you have a good shepherd. He loves you. He loved you before time began. In due time, he called you to himself. He gave you the gift of his Holy Spirit. He and his divine providence placed you in this town and this congregation. And you can be assured, regardless of what trials and troubles come our way in pastoral ministry, that he who began a good work in you will complete it in Christ Jesus. That is a great encouragement for God's people. Brother Noah, we affirm our love for you. We affirm our thanksgiving that God has raised you up. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. In our Savior Jesus' name, amen. At this time, I'm going to ask Brother Jimmy come and give a pastoral charge. I think it's working. Can you hear us?
I think this will work. It's on. Is it big? All right. At every ordination service I've ever been to, there is a charge to the incoming pastor of the church, and I've been assigned that exercise this morning, and it's an encouragement to the congregation. It's a charge to the pastor, upcoming pastor, hopefully it'll be helpful. I've done this many times, and so some of this you will have heard before. It's personalized, of course, for Noah. Noah and Melissa began attending TRBC some 3 years ago and became members in January of 2016. And by the way, Noah became a member. I baptized him, and you can imagine what that looked like. Noah standing beside me. I had to have help in the baptizing of him. But that was in January of 2016, Noah. Noah indicated his interest in the ministry in our first meeting together, I think. This was right after he started to church here. Today, that desire will be realized when he's ordained to the eldership. The church voted unanimously on the 11th of this month to have Noah enter the eldership here at TRVC. Matt mentioned that before, and I think that needed to be said. Noah, we pray that your ministry here will be long and productive, and may God's grace and blessing be realized to you, your family, and the church as you aid in the shepherding of the flock here at Texarkana Reformed Baptist Church. You will notice in this charge that I'll be quoting extensively from the pastoral epistles, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. There is nowhere else in the New Covenant scriptures where the duties ministry of the elder pastor is addressed like they are in 1st Timothy and Titus, 1st Timothy and 2nd Timothy. Timothy and Titus. I urge you to read them. Read them regularly. I read them this past week as I thought about this charge that I'd be giving. But they're full of exhortations, encouragements, charges. I was really surprised as I went through, I highlighted those, and there are many of them throughout those three books. And so I encourage you to continue reading those. You'll find something new in them every time you read them. Noah, I charge you before God in this company that you walk circumspectly as God's minister, that you redeem the time in this evil day. I exhort you to take heed to yourself and to this flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer, that you feed his sheep in the green pastures of the Word of God, that you lead his church with your fellow elder now and hopefully in the not too distant future, other elders, to drink freely of the living water, that you guard this congregation against grievous wolves and our chief adversary, of course, the devil, who would like nothing better than to destroy this church. Noah, the office of elder to which you've been chosen by this church is more than just a position. It's a work. It's a task. It's a labor. But it's a good work, a noble task, and a labor of love. Thus, to make full proof of your ministry and the work to which God has equipped you and called you, you must give yourself to reading and studying the Word of God, the Scriptures, so that you can show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, but one who rightly handles the Word of God. Noah, never forget that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that you, O man of God, may be perfectly thoroughly equipped to every good work. Brother, let no one look down on you because of your age. Now, you're a little younger than I am. And as Paul, who was, I think, quite a few years older than Timothy, said, let no man look down on you because of your age, or no one. And that probably means don't give anybody an occasion to criticize you or look down on your work because you're young. That's just a fact of life, and be encouraged by the fact that you have many years ahead of you. The Lord lets you live a long life. Be an example to believers and unbelievers alike in what you say, the way you live, in love, in faith, in purity. Flee as you would the plague, youthful lusts. Follow after righteousness along with those who call on God out of a pure heart. You are to teach and enforce the things of God, and those things only. As Paul instructed Timothy, devote yourself to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gifts that God has given you for the edification of this church. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them so that your profiting may be shared by all. Take heed to yourself and the doctrine. Continue in them, for in so doing, you shall save yourself and them that hear you. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Endure affliction as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Evangelize. Fulfill your ministry. Noah, there's some things you need to avoid, like foolish questions and endless genealogies and contentious, evil suspicions. And I thought about that. It's oftentimes true that we think of people, we see people, and because of something that happened, we passed them and they didn't say hello or something. We get suspicious about that and think maybe evil things about it. But that's what the Lord says. Flee these things, evil suspicions, greed, covetousness, and anything else that tends toward ungodliness. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. I could say that over and over again, how important it is for a man of God to go to the Lord in prayer for his needs and the needs of his congregation. So pray without ceasing. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. Finally, brother, along with Matt and other elders as they come along, feed the flock of God which is among you, watching for their souls. Take the oversight, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither are you to lord it over God's heritage, who are under your charge, but be an example to them. Now, brother, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Noah, having heard this solemn charge before God and this holy company, do you pledge to enter this office and serve this congregation to the glory of God and to the good of his kingdom? Do you so pledge? Well, we're glad to have you. A few words for Melissa. Melissa, we're privileged to have you and Noah as co-workers in this church. The wife of an elder has many responsibilities, but the majority of those obligations are to her husband. He needs you as a helper in the things of God for the good of this church. He needs your insight, your counsel, your love, your concern for this church. He needs those. He needs to be assured of them. As a wife acquainted with the Bible, you have much to offer Noah and this church. In chapter 3 of Timothy, Paul gives some qualities that are to be found in wives as elders and deacons. Wives must be worthy of respect, not slanderers, self-controlled, faithful in everything. We see in you these qualities and have no doubt of your commitment to this church and its well-being. The wife of an elder is special. She is often called on to share in her husband's counseling of others. As a helper whom God made to be suitable for her husband, be confident that you are God's gift to Noah. Melissa, you have been called to be Noah's wife and thus to share in this ministry. Be encouraged by the Word of God. You serve Christ by sharing your husband with this congregation. And the truth is that you're here not by chance, but by providence. You didn't just happen to be here. God brought you and Noah together and brought you here by His grace to be with us. Like it or not, you'll be scrutinized. So first, let me charge you to see yourself as a gift to this church at this time in history. You have been placed here by, not by accident, but by the providence of God. God made you for this hour. Second, elders need help like all other Christians do. They need love, friendship, companionship, prayer, encouragement, counsel, constructive criticism, loving submission, and more. No one can give these to an elder like his wife. So, Melissa, you have your hands full. And because God is your helper, we know you will succeed. Finally, may God bless you and may His grace be multiplied to you for the works that lie ahead of you. Be assured, Melissa, that this church will hold you in our hearts and you'll always be in our prayers. Now, having heard my charge to Noah and Melissa, the Lord has something to say to you too as a church with reference to your relationship to them. As a congregation, the Lord charges us many things with reference to our elders. So, brothers and sisters, you've heard my charge to Noah and Melissa. As they have responsibilities, so also do we. As members of TRBC, each of us has responsibility to Noah as God's appointed overseer in this church. And so, pray for Noah on a regular basis. He wants and needs our prayers. All the blessings we need come from God. Our prayers are the means of obtaining them. The writer of Hebrews told those to whom he wrote, "Pray for us that I may be released to you sooner." So he was telling them, "Pray that I will be released before I plan to be released." And so he was looking to God to answer that prayer. When we pray as if we know that God is going to hear us and answer it in His own way and for our good. Acknowledge him. We need to acknowledge Noah as God's appointed pastor. As Matt pointed out, the word pastor is the all-encompassing word for the work of the man who is doing the ministry. In other words, the word pastor and shepherd are the very same word. They're from the same Greek word. And so we acknowledge him as a pastor, recognizing that he is here as an elder by God's pleasure and providence. Respect Noah as your pastor. Esteem him very highly in love for his work's sake. Honor him with your financial support. Paul told the Galatians, "Let him who has taught the word, who has been taught the word, share with him in who teaches in every good thing. So the obligation is laid upon the church to support their elder. Obey and submit to him is the man of God who he is. Hebrews 13:17, which Matt read, says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. This obedience is not, of course, an absolute obedience. A husband doesn't have absolute power over his wife. It's a delegated power. And so Matt as an elder and Noah as an elder do not have absolute obedience. But in the realm of pastoring the church, they have a realm of obedience which we must recognize and submit to. What are the reasons for this duty that we're to pay to them? Well, it's God's requirement, first of all. God has required it. We must give it. And then secondly, Noah is keeping watch over our souls. He's studying the Word of God so that he can bring the truth to us, so he can defend against the evils that would come up against a church. He's doing those things, so we are to submit to him as he watches for our soul. He must give an account on the day of judgment, is what he says here in this chapter in Hebrews. And then, so that his work he can do with joy. There's nothing more grievous to a pastor than to have a unsettled flock that are constantly bickering and fighting among themselves and unwilling to submit to the oversight of an elder. He needs to be assured of our love for him and our care for him, and that he can thus minister amongst us with joy. Again, quickly, I charge you as a church before God that you pray for Noah, that you acknowledge him in the office that he is acquiring, that you respect him because of this office, that you honor him with your material support, that you obey and submit to him in his realm of authority. Brethren, all our relationships are to be viewed in the light of eternity. May God give us the grace to submit to his will as revealed in what we've gone over this morning. Noah, will you and Henry and Matt come forward, please?
Our thanksgiving now and our worship and our praise.